The God of the Old Testament is arguably the most unpleasant character in all fiction. A petty, unjust, unforgiving control freak, a vindictive, bloodthirsty ethnic cleanser, a misogynistic, homophobic, racist, malevolent bully.
The voice of Richard Dawkins. Of course, he's the best-selling author. The book that so many read and took seriously, The God Delusion. Richard Dawkins is among the new atheists. He may, in fact, be kind of the grandfather figure for the new atheists. He certainly has been a rallying point for many atheists in the last several years. We're going to be talking about the new atheists for the next few minutes of the program. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Albert Mohler will be our guest. Are the new atheists new? Are they really a challenge to theism or to Christianity in particular? What do they have going for them, and what is the Achilles heel or heels of the new atheist movement? How do you respond? We'll answer those questions here with Dr. Albert Mohler. In about a half hour, we'll discuss the religious and spiritual lives of American teenagers. Dr. Christian Smith, author of the book Soul Searching, will be our guest. Dr. Albert Mohler is president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, host of a daily radio program for the Salem Radio Network, and author of several books, including Atheism Remix, A Christian Confronts the New Atheists. Dr. Mohler, welcome back.
It's always great to be with you guys.
You write about some of the new atheists, that some of them understand Christianity better than many Christians do. What do you mean by that?
You know, it's a fascinating thing, isn't it? When you consider the fact that when you read Richard Dawkins or Christopher Hitchens, it's clear that they are pinpointing some issues that really represent compromise on the Christian side. For instance, you hear Christian pastors say, you don't have to worry about a God of wrath. The God of the Bible is not a God of wrath. Along comes Richard Dawkins, and then comes Christopher Hitchens to say, hey, we read the book, and he is. Now, they misconstrue what that means, but at least they're pointing to something that many contemporary Christians deny. The God that Dawkins and Hitchens and Sam Harris and Daniel Dennett and others reject is not the God of the seeker-sensitive, kind of user-friendly theological model. That God doesn't worry them at all. The God they worry about is the God of the Bible.
People would look back 7 years from this date to September 11th in 2001 and say, with some reflection, this is what religion gets you. It gets you fanatics hijacking planes and killing thousands. How do we respond?
Well, we're a Genesis 3 informed people. We understand that all people can and will do awful things for any conceivable reason at any time. You could point to the Soviet Union or to the Third Reich in Germany or to Maoist China and say, look what secularism produces. You could turn to any number of things, and it's in logic called the problem of a non sequitur. It doesn't follow. If you want to turn to 9/11 or to the Crusades or to any number of things and say, look, religion's dangerous, that's true. Of course, the question is, would secularism not be more dangerous? So it's one of those questions that really falls into the politically correct world of emotional speak. It reaches people at the emotional level because they don't have to really think through the issues.
What is new about the new atheists, if anything?
Well, certainly the arguments generally are not so new, the basic argument that there is no God. You could find, at least going back to the 16th century, people who were even called atheists. But what makes the new atheists new is, number one, they are more mainstream. You look back to the 20th century, you had the Bertrand Russells and the Madeline Murray O'Hares. You know, they looked weird when they showed up anywhere. And they were considered eccentric. Richard Dawkins holds the most esteemed chair in science at Oxford University. Christopher Hitchens is, you know, very much at home in the intellectual elites of literature. Daniel Dennett, well-known cognitive psychologist, language philosopher, he's just extremely well-known. These are the people who are shaping this new atheism. Secondly, it's newly assertive. And what these new atheists have detected is what the philosopher Charles Taylor of Canada calls a changed condition of belief. They understand that even back when Bertrand Russell was arguing against Christianity and wrote his famous book, Why I'm Not a Christian, most people believed they were Christians. It's a different thing entirely to come along over a half century later and now start asserting the fact that belief in any God is a dangerous thing, as, for instance, Richard Dawkins does. And the third thing that is different is that they are really using scientific arguments, because they believe that that is the great lever, the great intellectual lever of our contemporary time. If you can make people doubt anything on the basis of science, they believe you've really succeeded in undermining that truth claim. And so that's what they're trying to do with Christianity.
So are the new atheists, I want to go back to the second point you made there, are the new atheists successfully exploiting what you called the changed conditions of belief?
Well, they are to some extent. You know, for instance, Madeleine Murray O'Hare and Bertrand Russell, just to use those two, they never would have dominated the bestseller list the way that Dawkins and Dennett and Harris and Hitchens have. They wouldn't have been considered such insiders in terms of making these arguments. You know, I think even on the college campus, the secularization has been so much more advanced now that those four are basically non-controversial on most elite college campuses. That wouldn't have been true even several years ago. Just think of William F. Buckley's famous first book, God and Man at Yale, and then compare to where Yale is now to where it was even then when Buckley wrote his lament. There really is a changed situation of belief.
You write that the new atheism is really the end or the end game of something bigger, secularization theory. Give us a primer on that, Dr. Moeller.
You know, this is one of the most fascinating things of, say, the last half century. Back certainly in the late 19th century, the early 20th century, a lot of the people on the intellectual left were absolutely certain that belief in God would quickly recede. And their argument was this: human beings are going to get more intelligent, we're going to gain power over splitting the atom and damming up rivers, and we won't need God as the explanation for these things. You know, once you send human beings to the moon, they're not going to come back believing the same kind of three-story universe of heaven and hell and heaven and all the rest. And so they were absolutely certain that modern industrialized knowledge economies would be secular. And it turns out it isn't true. The vast majority of Americans today say they believe in God. America's far more advanced economically and technologically than it was at the end of World War II, and yet the rate of belief in God is virtually the same as it was then. Now, you and I both know that doesn't mean they believe in the God of the Bible, but it does mean that secularization theory really hasn't worked. Now, what Peter Berger has suggested, he's one of the major theorists who even a half century ago was arguing for secularization. He said, what we didn't see is that belief in God would be transformed from theism into spirituality, and that's really where this has gone.
What do you mean by that last statement there?
People say they believe in God, but the God in whom they believe is not the God of theism, much less biblical theism, but it's rather kind of a God as an intellectual project, a spirituality they put together. Americans, they can walk into a car dealership and walk out with exactly the car they want. They want this color interior, they can have it. They can get exactly what they want customized to themselves. Go into a restaurant and order off of a menu, get whatever they want. That's the way they want their religion, too. They want to be able to say, I want this. I want a God of love. I don't want wrath. I want redemption. I don't want sin. I want heaven. I don't want discipleship. And so that's what spirituality turns into. And of course, now you got everything from people, you know, believing they're talking to angels overnight to people who are meditating on rocks, people in the psychotherapeutic cults. So America has turned into an ocean of spiritualities.
Well, then let's turn to one of the hallmarks of new atheism that you write about, and that is, and I think Hitchens is a really good example of this, perhaps even the best example of this. He seems to be, among the new atheists, the one who really focuses in on Jesus Christ and his redemptive work as the target of his attack and his ridicule. Talk about that a little bit, if you would.
Yeah, you know, that's very perceptive. That's a huge change, because back at the midpoint of the last century, even the atheists said nice things about Jesus. Maybe politically they had to, but even just their abstraction of this earthly Jesus, who was an earthly wisdom teacher, a good teacher, a sage, they had good things to say about Jesus. Well, that's over. And as you pointed out, Christopher Hitchens, and I deal with this in my book so directly, Christopher Hitchens said, "Look, if you think if your imagination is of a mean, evil, judgmental Old Testament God and a sweet, non-judgmental New Testament Jesus," he said, "you haven't read the book." And in fact, in one line in his book, he makes the case. He says, "Look," he said, "I've read the book, And Jesus, at the end of the book of Revelation, kills a lot more people than God did through the Jews at the conquest of Canaan. And, of course, that to him is just the absolute end-all of the offensiveness, and so he just dismisses everything out of hand. But again, I go back to the fact that he's actually read the book.
With only a minute before we take our first break, Dr. Mohler, you said before that they believe that science is the lever that they can use to eradicate religion, really, on many different levels. Do the new atheists truly hold the intellectual high ground over Christian theists?
Well, they think they do, because not only do they rely upon science, their worldview is scientism. In other words, their first principle of thought is that science is the way to know truth. And, you know, science has produced so much for us in the terms of fact it is the way to know a good many truths. The problem is that science has inherent limitations that many scientists simply don't recognize. Science can't explain love. Science can't explain beauty. Science can't explain the most important things of life, and science certainly can't explain God, either his existence or non-existence. But if you believe that science is the only way to know anything that is legitimately to be known, then you'll use science to whatever end you want to point it. And so you even have Daniel Dennett, who says, I have a scientific explanation for belief in God. It served some evolutionary purpose at some point in the past. We just don't need it anymore.
Dr. Albert Mohler is our guest. We're talking about the new atheist. Stay tuned. 10 more minutes with Dr. Mohler after this. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
The sharpest arrow in your apologetics quiver. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hello, I'm Olivia Gans, Director of American Victims of Abortion. In 1981, I was in college and pregnant. Afraid and confused, I looked to the abortion industry for help. What they didn't tell me was that my abortion would take the life of my baby and leave me empty and alone. They didn't tell me about the years of tears and grief that stay with you long after the abortion. What abortionists won't tell you is that abortion hurts women. This has been a perspective on life from National Right to Life. For more information, visit our website at nrlc.org.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the Sponsors section of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
This Old Testament God makes the grisliest test of people's loyalty. Like when he asks Abraham to murder his son Isaac. As a kid, we were taught to admire it. I caught my breath reading it. We were taught to admire it? What kind of sadistic test of loyalty is that? To ask someone to kill his or her own child? And isn't the proper answer, no? It was really hard to stay on Jesus' side when he started saying really aggressive, just hateful things. In Matthew, he says, I come not to bring peace, but a sword.
That's Julia Sweeney. She counts herself among the new atheists, and she has a one-woman show tracking her path away from theism and from God. It's called Letting Go of God. Dr. Albert Mohler is our guest. We're talking about the new atheist. He's president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, host of a daily radio program for the Salem Radio Network, and author of several books, including Atheism Remix, A Christian Confronts the New Atheists. Dr. Mohler, we were talking before about whether or not they hold the high ground. And but some people get deeply concerned because guys like Dawkins, they hold degrees. They teach at prestigious universities. They must know what they're talking about. Address that, if you would.
Well, you know, there's a sense in which many of these new atheists tend to be highly intellectual people. And if people who are observing that think, well, that means that highly intelligent people are atheists, they're simply drawing the wrong conclusion there. But we do need to recognize that the new atheism is a very intellectual form of unbelief. It's not just the protest atheism that you had, for instance, at many points in the 20th century, where people said, I don't want to believe in God. Belief in God is evil. Now, Richard Dawkins gets to that, for example, but he first believes that it's just pathetic that anyone would believe in God. It perplexes him and his other new atheist friends as well that so many highly intelligent people do believe in God. But, you know, we need to be very, very careful about, as Christians, observing what intelligent people do and assuming that they're doing so intelligently. The fact is that intelligent people are just as trapped within their own preconceptions as unintelligent people. And when it comes to someone like Richard Dawkins, he's right up front about what his preconceptions are. God can't exist. And if the beginning point of your system of belief is that God can't exist, then you'll frame your scientific theory to back up what you start out with. So they don't hold the high ground. If they held the high ground, we would really be in trouble. The high ground is in knowing what kind of authority is the right authority for belief in a certain truth claim. And the truth claim concerning the existence of the self-existent, self-revealing God is not something that is scientifically knowable. God did not say, put me under a microscope or play with the idea of God in a laboratory. He said, be still and know that I am God. And the intellectual defenses of the Christian faith are far superior to the intellectual attacks on it. But it's not a tribute to intellect that we become Christians. It's all by grace. And we're justified by faith alone, not by intellect alone. And so I think we really have to think through, at what point do we understand that human intelligence directed in the wrong way to the wrong object can become a very deadly thing?
Without sounding alarmist about something that is, in fact, quite alarming, talk a bit about the goals, the stated goals of the new atheists.
Well, they want to make belief in God so intellectually disrespectful and disrespectable when it comes to the intellectual elites that people will simply be too embarrassed to say they believe in God. They don't, Todd, have any idea or goal of reaching, the people who are in little country churches dotted around America. They want to reach the college campuses. Their interest is in the intellectual elites. They want to create such a solidly secular worldview in the international thought class that young people would simply learn very quickly when they get accustomed and acculturated to the university environment that smart people just don't believe in God. They also have other concerns. And when it comes to, for instance, Richard Dawkins, he's right up front about the fact that he calls the indoctrination of children a religious form of child abuse. And believes that it should not be allowable. He believes it's immoral for parents to be able to raise their children in their own belief system. And, of course, he ignores the fact that that's exactly what he did with his own daughter. But, when you start understanding that these arguments are coming framed this way, and then you look at such ridiculous actions being undertaken by such things as the International European Court of Justice, you begin to understand someone somewhere is going to buy this argument.
So let's talk about the burden not only to refute the claims, the positive claims made by atheists such as they are, but also the burden that Christians will necessarily bear to defend positively those claims made by Christianity.
Well, this is where we really are on the strong ground, because our offensive and defensive intellectual plays, so to speak, are very complementary. We don't have to come up with kind of ad hoc arguments that the atheists do. So let's take the negative arguments. When we look at the new atheism, one of the first things we need to understand is that they're making claims that take the shape of affirming what they want to deny. I mean, this is one of the most fun aspects of this when you debate an atheist. They are called, after all, atheists. The word that they choose for their position is atheism. They can't even describe their position without reference to theism. They're in an incredibly weak intellectual position trying to disprove the existence of what, by the very concept, they have to name. I hope I'm making sense in this, but it really is fun. In one sense, it's tragic fun, but you realize that the atheist has to talk about God in order to talk about what he doesn't believe in.
How would you respond to somebody like Sam Harris, who has famously said that he doesn't feel any necessary to disprove the existence of God? He thinks the burden rather lies with those who do believe in God. He says no one believes that Zeus exists. No one goes around talking, trying to disprove Zeus's existence, and the same should apply to the God of Christianity.
I think that line of argument is why Sam Harris is the least influential among these now. He had his 15 minutes of Andy Warhol fame with his two books, but he actually is not tremendously respected now by a lot of the other new atheists because of his own experiments with Eastern mysticism. And so he's kind of become the weak brother in that particular movement. And, you know, if he says he doesn't have to disprove God, all he has to do is say, well, people don't believe in Zeus anymore. That's not the same kind of argument anymore. If belief in God is, as he says it is, dangerous, and he makes that argument right up front, probably stronger than any of the other, if he says that belief in God is dangerous, then he has to refute the argument. It's intellectually incoherent to say, I believe this idea is dangerous, but I don't have to disprove it. And that's why I think he's losing a great deal of respect and influence.
When you talk about new atheism presenting the Christian church, as you say, a great moment of clarification, what are you saying there?
You know, I think we ought to be very, very thankful for this challenge in one respect, and that is that if anything is resulting out of this from the Christian response, it ought to be the recognition that liberal theology has no future, that it's completely inviolable. And unviable as a means of speaking of the one true and living God. You know, this is something that, for instance, Sam Harris argues that liberal theology is just as dangerous as what he calls fundamentalism, because he says the liberal theologians are just running cover for the Orthodox believers. You know, if there is a God, and I believe with all my heart there is, a self-existent, self-revealing God, then he is who he says he is. Liberal theology starts with the assumption that we can reconceive God in ways that are very different than how he has revealed himself. And they end up with this kind of middle position, that is a God that is friendly to the claims of modern skepticism. Well, if you're going to refute the new atheists, you can't refute the new atheists with the God of a Paul Tillich or a Rudolf Bultmann or a John Shelby Spong. That's a pathetic pseudo-deity that quickly is shown to be just what it is. The only refutation of the new atheism is the God of the Bible, the one true and living God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the maker of heaven and earth. And so this is a gift in one sense, that at least it's showing the intellectual really collapse of liberal theology.
Dr. Albert Mohler is president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. He's host of a radio program daily for the Salem Radio Network, and he's author of several books, including Atheism Remix, A Christian Confronts the New Atheists. Dr. Mohler, thank you very much for being our guest.
Listen, as always, it's great to be with you guys on issues, et cetera. Welcome back. A lot of us across this country are really thankful to be hearing your voices again.
Thank you. By the way, you can read an excerpt of this book by Dr. Mohler, Atheism Remix, under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. There is one thing that the new atheists, as far as I can tell, don't take on directly. Christopher Hitchens will be so bold as to take on the death of Jesus Christ, the vicarious atonement. He says it is unthinkable, it is immoral, and it cannot stand as the basis of any moral system for Christians or for anyone else. Now, he's very close, because the death of Jesus Christ is the central tenet of the Christian faith. But one detail is omitted that must go with the death of Jesus Christ, namely the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, you can say it didn't happen.
but it did. And this is the one, at least according to St. Paul, this is the one thing that can falsify everything Christianity claims, from the beginning of the historic creeds to their end, from the beginning of the Bible to the end. It can falsify all divine revelation if Christ is not raised. Well, if Christ is not raised, then none of it is worth believing. This is why the Christian proclamation and the refutation of the new atheist must remain: Christ crucified and raised for us sinners. You see, it does double duty. It is a witness to the centrality of our faith in our Savior, and it refutes once and for all the new atheist.
LCMS Inc. canceled this. You're listening to Issues, Etc.